My subject today is filled with the Spirit. I want to use as a theme text the words from Ephesians 5:18, and it talks about being filled with the Spirit. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Of course, you know that these words are addressed to the new creatures in Christ Jesus. Once again, those who have made a full consecration to the Lord, and to whom the pastor puts it in his comments, and I like this, who are saturated with the Spirit. Now, if you're saturated with the Spirit, it's in every part of you. It is your very being because it guides and directs every aspect of you. And some more thoughts we want to bring out concerning this, outlined in walk of the believer as God's child, proving what is acceptable to God, the walk as our warfare of the believer as you're filled with the Spirit. Again, as you're doing that, you're putting on the whole armor of God, as we realize, all the aspects of the armor, especially the sword of the Spirit. And with that armor, again, you're facing the darts, the arrows of the adversary. Also, another point, the inner life of a Spirit-filled believer. And you're speaking again to yourselves, as it says in these spiritual songs and hymns. Spiritual songs, if you're doing that, again, it's guided and directed by and through this power of the Holy Spirit. And also then, carrying over into Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and really what you term your domestic life, your daily life, the life of a Spirit-filled believer. So the Spirit of truth speaks to us through the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, as we've heard expressed. And only by obedience in that Word can we be filled with the Spirit. So truly, we come to appreciate the words from 2 Timothy 2:7. He hath given us the Spirit of power and of love. But before I continue that thought, I'm going to go on to a little subject here. It's to consider the aspect of the wind. Now, I'm using the phrase, to catch the wind. To catch the wind. Again, the wind, the movement of air, has been affecting the lives of mankind ever since it was first created. Remember that Adam even was said, he was walking with the Lord in the cool of the evening. I think that cool breeze, it's a soothing breeze, especially if you come from hot climates, as you do here and also in Florida. And so also the wind, as it's gentle, as in that evening breeze, sometimes it comes violently during the storm. And the wind can come suddenly and leave again just as suddenly as it came, where it can blow for days. And mankind has realized that he can be both soothed by the wind and perplexed by the wind. Man has even been striving to harness the wind. Drive around the countryside, you'll see windmills, wind power, trying to harness it, use it. So it's been a point of destruction and also awe and wonder. Many of us, and I'm considering myself one of these older ones now, you know, when I first moved into Orlando, I was one of the younger ones, and now I'm one of the older younger ones, I guess, if that's a term. But I'm thinking back to my youth. Can you recall as a child running out in the field in the spring of the year? Your kite trailing behind you. You're running to try to get that kite into the breeze to lift it up and then be caught up. Dance up into the sky in the wind. It's on that string. And, you know, I was looking at that string. You know, that string, there's a scarlet string, which is, of course, the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. It's your lifeline. Just as that string, we were hoping that string would not break. Sometimes our kites would go so high they look like a little dot. We'd add other balls of string, you know, balls of string to it and get it as high as we could. And it would stretch and be taut. But it was your lifeline. That string meant everything to that kite, because if it broke, it would be lost. So that scarlet string means everything to us. It helps to lift us higher and higher into the sky, up to the heavenlies, abounding in us with the Holy Spirit more and more. So we want to go on in this heavenly course. Again, growing, going steadily upward, continually onward. And there's another scripture I'd like to tie in. Have you ever marveled at the flight of a raptor, of an eagle? It's an amazing sight to behold. Sometimes, just a few weeks ago, I was out in my yard and I heard the call, and I thought it was a hawk, and looked up, there were a pair of bald eagles flying over and gliding. We do have wildlife still in Florida. It's not all concrete and, you know, amusement parks. There's a lot of nature, and I like to behold the handiwork of God. And if you look at that eagle, the sight of that eagle on the wind, on the updrafts. Now, updrafts are caused by heat rising. And that bird can rise above and soar for many, many miles even sometimes, gliding over the earth below. And I think that really, this is how we're protected by God. We're gliding over the hot experiences. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not being burned up by that world. But we're able to see with that great keen vision that an eagle has, and through the Holy Spirit, what is in store, what lies ahead, just in our experiences. Because we know, through the Scriptures, if we lead a path that's pleasing to God, we know what lies ahead. If we lead the other kind of a life, and we're caught up on these every kind of wind of doctrine, we know what kind of path that will lead to. That's Ephesians 4:14. We're not looking at that type. And so there's this scripture from Isaiah 40, verse 31. I'm sure you already thought of it. Thou shalt mount up with wings as an eagle. So again, if you're mounting up on those wings, you're depending upon the power of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you, to lead you to things, using your vision, your keenness of sight, as you're filled with the Spirit, looking for opportunities that God provides you for service, growth, study, development, everything that is good for your new creature growth and development. Going from that embryonic stage until it has that birth, that newness of life in heaven. There's also a scripture that was spoken by God. It's in Exodus 19, well, it's really two verses, Exodus 19, 4 and 5. Exodus 19, 4 and 5. Tell the children of Israel how I bear you on eagle wings and brought you unto myself. And he brought them unto himself. He delivered them from this bondage, this captivity of the world, the devices, of course, Pharaoh, representing Satan, and to spiritual Israel, he's delivered you also through that desert condition. You're a pilgrim and stranger in a desert land. But you're able to rise up again above these things. And as we came here today or yesterday, you're able to rise above the things. Aren't you leaving the cares of your worldly interests behind you? You have to do that more and more each day. So the Heavenly Father also, he's used this Holy Spirit, and in all circumstances, he's given us a glimpse of the things that he has in store for those that truly love him. So in the Bible, as we stated, both literally and symbolically, we have references to the wind. God causes them, the north wind drives away rain, Proverbs 25:23. The south wind brings heat and dries out the earth in Genesis 8:1. And the earth is also quieted by a south wind, a soothing wind. In Florida, where I've been living over around 30 years or so, they would build houses and they'd have a central breezeway in the south. And they opened the back door and the front door, and the air would go. We didn't have air conditioning. It would go through, and it would cool that home, and in the evening especially. And they would orient the house where they knew that breeze would often come from. And so, again, you have to orient your life in the area that you know that you have the most need of, and where you receive the guidance and blessings from God, that wind, that soothing comfort. because to God, the wind is a treasure. It says in Psalm 135, verse 7, God bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. And in Colossians 3, 2 and 3, it tells us, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding of the mystery of God, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Of course, our Lord Jesus also, in his experiences, used the wind. We know he calmed the winds. Matthew 8, 26, we realize that he said, why are you in fear? And he went and he showed us a lesson how he can calm or temper all the experiences that we have, because he does not want it to harm our new creature growth and development. And so we encounter great or very hard experiences, and he says, stand firm, lest ye fall. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he also asked us to do this. If you have a faith, nothing wavering, ask, and it shall be given to you. For he that wavereth is like a wave of sea driven by the wind and tossed about. And it really refers to Hebrews 10:22, that full assurance of faith. You trust in God that he can help you rise above your human frailties and imperfections? Are you trusting that you're covered on the robe of his righteousness? And you can be a more than overcomer. You must, though, be filled with the Spirit. And so we have this statement, as we've had already expressed, an illustration of the wind used in his teaching, the expression of that statement. Right after that, he's talking about the Spirit, being born of the Spirit, begotten of the Spirit, that Spirit-born class, those filled with the Spirit. An illustration of the wind as the Holy Spirit. Again, the wind, we realize, intangible, invisible, but ever-present and powerful. And we had that expressed earlier in the scripture from John 3:8. And Jesus, again, used this wonderful illustration. He conveys it to our mind to really give us a clearer conception of what that Spirit-born class would be, the nature and powers of that class, who would compose a spiritual kingdom and set up in power and great glory, being with the Master. And so he talked about that wind blowing where it wants to, and you can hear the sound, but you don't know where it comes from, referring to those born of the Spirit. We had an experience like that. Again, we had a hurricane, Hurricane Charlie. We actually had four hurricanes in one year. Charlie was the worst. Of course, in our scientific community, with the great forecasting that they could do, they missed it by 300 miles. And it came right through the center of Florida when it was supposed to miss us and go north. So we didn't evacuate. And actually, brethren came from St. Petersburg in Clearwater to Orlando to be with us, to be safe. And we had about 90 to 100 mile an hour winds in my community. So in the middle of the night, of course it's always in the middle of the night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, our house shook. We were in the hallway, my wife, our children. Couldn't go anywhere, you couldn't get out. And again, you could hear that howling, and it shook again violently. And I heard a large crash. Several trees had fallen, 5 in my yard. And I said to Sister Vicki, I don't know if the house will take one more of those. You know, and just that quickly, it left. That was a fast mover. In 10 minutes, it was gone. The winds lasted calmly, 30, 40 miles an hour, just calm to us. And then it was completely gone. But it left the devastation behind, of course. But again, that house was built on a firm foundation. Our house has to be built on that same kind of foundation. And what is your house? It's your body. It's your being. You're built on a firm foundation. And so you have that wind. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the trials and circumstances don't destroy your spiritual life, but they strengthen it. When we walked out and saw the destruction, we gave thanks to God. And all of the ones came out. We live in a neighborhood where we have brother over in that street, down at the end of our street, halfway down our street. As you go around our community, it's the brother, and you see them every day, and we like that. And so, you can rest knowing that the Heavenly Father is watching over you. Now let's go back before I digress too far. Back to Ephesians 5:18. This with the Spirit. Now in the Greek, pneuma, spirit, life, spiritual, the Spirit of God. And certainly there's much language here. And it's being used to, again, as a picture to describe the nature and operation of the church of the firstborns whose names are written in heaven. And to fulfill all the requirements of this special class, they'll be inheritors of the kingdom, of heavenly things. And they will be invisible as a group to the world. Right now, we realize that. We've heard the discussions. You're shaped, molded, polished right now. Your chiseling is going on without the sound of a hammer. Is in that new temple that was constructed. And you know, just with that new temple, the temple that Solomon built, the tabernacle, so forth. You know, that the wood used in that, remember what kind of wood that was? It was cedar wood, overlaid with gold. Because it's a picture, again, of the blessings to all the families of the earth. A cedar is an evergreen, everlasting life. And it's covered with gold because the body of Christ has gone on to the divine nature. And mankind, again, has that opportunity to be here on a restored perfect earth forever. So, you're filled with the Spirit. And oh, invisible, everywhere present and influential once again in the affairs of mankind. Helping mankind up the highway of holiness. And it says, your works will follow. You will be as a living epistle known and read of men. Revelation 14:13. The Spirit says, and their labors follow them. They have the Spirit. Their labors follow them. So again, the Christ, head and body, powerful influence upon the world of mankind, brings them back to a standing with God. And we realize that, again, these words are hard words to understand if you did not have the Holy Spirit, the promised Comforter. The patience of the saints. Keep the commandments of God and of the faith of the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Because a natural man, he can perceive not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But God hath revealed them to you, brethren, the Spirit-begotten ones, by His Spirit, it says. 1 Corinthians 2:11-14. Again, familiar words. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that ye may know the things that are freely given to us of God. And you enter into these realities when you're born from the dead and raised in the likeness of Him. And you have this opportunity given to you. We had some comments yesterday evening. The privilege it is to know these things. You know, kings, rulers, people with great wealth, it says, have desired to know these things. They couldn't buy them. They had vast libraries. They couldn't find it in the library. but you found it. And it was given to you, again, freely by our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. You desire to be used and consumed in His service. And you understand the deep things of God now by the begetting of the Holy Spirit in each of you, called out by that illuminating light of the Holy Spirit, which guides you to all truth. This is really what we want to do in our lives. This is being filled with the Spirit. And I enjoy going to lighthouses. We have several in Florida. We were trying to find one, and we just waited because it was lit then, finally. And we saw it, and we were drawn to it. It was so bright and intense. And we went there and saw how it was constructed and the great care it took to put that together. Isn't that how you're drawn to the plan of God and His love? You're drawn to it. It's the only thing that you're focused on in your life. And as you go, do you ever see a lens of a lighthouse? All the facets that they have, great skill in making that. And you're drawn again to the facets of God's plan. And the great wisdom and knowledge and skill that it took to put that plan together. And He lets you see those facets. And He lets you understand them. And you see the beauty of His creation and the power of His might. And it's exercised in great ways and also in little things. You're filled with the Spirit. He touches your life in so many ways that you don't even realize. An overruling that may have taken place. A circumstance arranged in your life, but aren't you thankful that they were? We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that arrangement of God. And then also our submissiveness to what He has in store for us. And so, again, as we were talking about, even at Pentecost, let's look at how the Spirit came. Again, in one place, it's been brought out in Acts 2:2, the sound of that wind filled the whole house. Again, the Holy Spirit, the invisible power of God. And once again, I just want to bring out, because I really want to emphasize this, this house, the dwelling place, our earthly house, our bodies. And there's a scripture that I wrote down. Actually, it was during the last talk. Psalm 15:1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. And then it goes on to explain, you have to have a strength of character and conduct. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Not in matters concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit. Certainly not. For we know, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:1, that of our earthly house, this tabernacle, if it were dissolved, we have a building with God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And we earnestly desire to be clothed with our house, which is in heaven. You know, and if you look this up, this house, it has to do, this tabernacle, it's a tent house. It's a temporary structure. Just as a tabernacle in the wilderness was a temporary structure, but it pictures the development of the church. This is a temporary structure, because it's going to be dissolved with your death. You have vowed that vow to do that. Temporary. In fact, you're already reckoned dead because you gave up your life rights when you made that consecration. When you showed to God that you wanted to be filled with His Spirit. And then you wanted to be guided by His Spirit. It talks about it in John 14:10-26. It strengthens us. The Holy Spirit guides us in John 16:13. It comforts us in John 14:10-26. It gives us joy, Romans 14:17. And also, again, as we said, this Holy Spirit, if you're filled with it, it's nourishing you, and you want to be filled to the point of overflowing. It illuminates your minds, and this, again, through the begettal of the Holy Spirit, it sustains you. The Holy Spirit becomes a law of life to us because it makes us free from that law of sin and death. It enables us to walk by its holy influence upon us, Colossians 1:22. And it compels us to have that desire to walk faithfully, to have that character likeness of our Lord, the beautiful character of our Lord, and then the graces of that Spirit. And this is really a true love. Our true love is the Heavenly Father and His dear Son. And it's our earnest desire that we go on to perfection. Hebrews 6:1-3. Hebrews 6:1-3. Therefore having the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And the Spirit does indeed quicken us to go on, to be about the work of Romans 8:11. And it is, what is that? It's looking for ways to improve our character. You know, and if you look at that example, you've heard the example, we see through a veil darkly or through a glass darkly. And as I was thinking about that, just my thought, you look in the glass. When you first look in the glass, what do you see? You pretty much see yourself. You don't really see what's around you. But as you mature as a Christian, when you look in that mirror, in that glass, you see the things around you, not only yourself. And as you grow and progress and you're filled with the Spirit, when you look in the mirror, you should see the face of our Lord. You've been transformed, walking in His footsteps, and you're reflecting His character. Of course, not that we can be our Lord, of course, not what I'm saying. But we have to have those intentions. You know, giving up your will to do His will, making His will your own. Because the Holy Spirit shows you what that will is. It shows you to focus on the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. It shows you how to develop the things, to have a peace of mind and of heart. Again, to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Because your Father loves you. He loves you dearly. He cares for you. In every aspect of your life, He is there. He gives you help and encouragement, comfort, consolation, guidance, rest. Not rest from your endeavors, your studies, but resting, we know that, on His wonderful promises. Resting that He fulfilled everything asked of Him. That He went out of His way to help and comfort and endure to the very end steadfast. It's brought out in Psalm 29:11 and 36:5-7 and Jeremiah 31:3. Again, I've loved thee with that everlasting life. Therefore, with loving kindness I have known thee. Or, I have extended my loving kindness unto thee with bands of love. Hosea 11:4. So we want to trust in Him. We want to rest in the Lord. For the Lord is strong and mighty. He gives strength to His people. His grand power is on our side to help us and protect us. 1 Corinthians 1:24. He's our heavenly friend. And so we realize as we study His character reflected that of the Father, the express image of God. And how is it revealed to us? Once again, by this fullness of the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, fighting a good fight of faith, 1 Peter 5:6-9. And you humble yourself, you cast your care upon Him because He careth for you. You have your hearts and minds tune to Him. Tune to Him. Now, we have satellite radio in our car. And as Sister Vicki will attest, it just gives me more things to play with and change. You know, I can't find that one channel. But in this is not, we're not searching for the channel of blessings to us. We found it, and we're keeping it on that channel of blessing. We found the way, the truth, and the light. We're not looking out for other things. And we want to serve Him then in spirit and in truth. Because if we do that, we'll be compelled to give thanks to God. And it's a good thing to give thanks to God. And it leads us to a thought. If we're doing this, if we're filled with the Spirit, what are you seeking? Not treasures on earth, but you're seeking things above. As we're told that moth and rust will not corrupt. And so He gives you, brethren, that Holy Spirit of understanding. He gives you the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit, to know and do His will, and then to go on in a way pleasing to Him. So, brethren, serve Him in spirit and truth. The beginning of that Holy Spirit, as we've been told, in the case of an individual Christian, is that transforming power by which he then passes from the human nature of mind to that new nature, the new mind, the new will. It's that power and influence of God brought out in reprint 40:48. In Strong's is Michka, applying the oil of the priest, as we heard, and it overflows and runs down. The anointing that you have abideth in you. We've been given knowledge and insights into His plans and purposes, and we thank Him so much for all the things that He has done for us. So, brother, let's go on in our lives, remembering that as we're filled with the Spirit, as the cloud hung over the tabernacle and it really protected those, natural Israel, now spiritual Israel, to help us with our trials and circumstances, and leads us to, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord guide and direct you along those lines.